And in 2014, the Australian government amended its immigration laws, leading to a large increase in the deportation of immigrants with criminal records from this country. But of those deported, a disproportionate number have been New Zealanders. And of those New Zealanders, 60% have been of Maori or Pacific Islander descent. The deportations were recently criticized by New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern and Justice Minister Andrew Little, who believe the policy is straining the long and fruitful relationship between our two countries. Now, to discuss these deportations and why New Zealanders are being affected the most, I'm joined by Professor Patrick Kayser, head of La Trobe University Law School. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Sam.
So for those who don't know, what exactly is going on?
Well, look, back in 2014, the Australian government changed its legislation and also regulations relating to the deportation of people with criminal records. It was a practice that had been engaged in previously, but usually it was a practice reserved for people with very serious criminal records. And another change, in addition to the lowering of the threshold of criminality, the visa revocations became automatic. So a person might be in prison for a crime with a sentence of 1 year. They may even have had their sentence suspended and be living in the community, but then they would be arrested, taken to immigration detention, and then deported. And they would have to fight their deportation from within the detention centre or even from outside the country. And as you noted in your introduction, many of the people who've been victims of this regime have been born in New Zealand.
And why would New Zealanders be disproportionately targeted by this law?
Well, look, I don't think it's so much targeting, just so much as New Zealand being our large and near neighbour in terms of population. We've always had a fairly fluid policy of migration with New Zealand. Lots of Kiwis move to Australia and call Australia home. And many of these fellows, because they're almost invariably men, come to Australia when they're young. They might come here when they're 2 years old, 12 years old, or 20 years old. They might come with their families. They consider themselves to be Australians, and they grow up in Australia and take part in Australian activities. But if they fall foul of the justice system, then this legislation and these regulations authorise the Minister for Immigration, the Minister for Home Affairs now, to revoke their visas and send them back to the country of their birth.
And so it could, as you said, in many cases, be a country they haven't really lived in for much of their life.
Yeah, that's right. So a lot of these fellows, they've got no family ties in New Zealand or very distant family ties. They're returning to a country where they don't really have any on-the-ground experience in day-to-day living. So they don't know anybody. And when they return to New Zealand, they're subject to a New Zealand legislative regime, which has been implemented in the last few years in response to the Australian regime, that sets up a parole order style arrangement for them. So after they're deported from Australia, after they've served their sentences and they're deported from Australia, they're then subjected to a different, an additional regime in New Zealand. And it's tough for a lot of them to get a start in New Zealand, and a number of them have fallen foul of the criminal justice system there again.
And while, Patrick, it may not be too strange that a lot of them are New Zealanders, as you've said, it does seem a bit strange that a large number of those people being deported are Maori or Pacific Island descent, far in excess sort of the population of, demographics of New Zealand. Is there any sort of suspicion that Australian government is explicitly targeting non-white New Zealanders?
Look, there's nothing in the regulation that indicates that's the intent of it. But I think it's fair to say that a lot of criminal activity emerges from poverty and from situations where people are desperate I think it's fair to say that that poverty is
more prevalent amongst these.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, yeah. I mean, I'm not a demographer. Mm-hmm. You know, my expertise is limited to the legislation,
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
there needs to be a thorough statistical analysis of the deportees to sort of answer those questions. But certainly, the data that is available suggests, as you said in the introduction to this piece, that that it is having a significant impact on Maori and Pacific Island mm-hmm. New Zealanders, and that's a very unfortunate thing.
An acting New Zealand Prime Minister, Winston Peters, called the holding of deportees in detention centres a breach of international human rights law. What justification does he have in levelling this charge against the Australian government?
Well, it is true that immigration detention in Australia, and in particular immigration detention in offshore centres such as Christmas Island, has been the subject of numerous statements by the United Nations Human Rights Committee. There are a great many decisions of the United Nations Human Rights Committee that have been critical of Australia's immigration detention regime and have found on many occasions that the regime breaches Article 9 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, which prohibits arbitrary detention. A striking and common theme in that jurisprudence mm-hmm. Is the disproportionate nature of the immigration detention. So the United Nations Human Rights Committee has said, look, we accept that it may be legitimate to detain people for a short period of time for quarantine and record checking purposes and things like that. But the length of time that people spend in detention mm-hmm. And the fact that the detention is in very, very distant places like Christmas Island makes it incredibly difficult for these men to secure adequate legal representation and to maintain bonds and family ties. Many of these fellows have got families in Australia, and there have been some cases where people have been arrested at home before dawn and taken away into immigration detention, with their families obviously being incredibly distressed by those facts and circumstances, and then taken away to places like Christmas Island, where they spend inordinately long periods of time. Often those periods of time are a lot longer than the actual criminal sentence that they served. And it's been the case, certainly the Minister for Home Affairs has made a number of statements pointing to, if you like, the worst of the worst, so pointing to
right.
People who have particularly...
But that's not most of the people being
no,
sent
No, it's
there.
Not. No, it's not. So certainly, I think for rhetorical reasons and political reasons, the Minister for Home Affairs has pointed to people who are... have particularly high degrees of, people who've got...
crimes, yeah.
Very serious criminal records. But there are lots of cases that involve people who have had their visa revoked when really they, on any objective measure, their criminal records are quite minor. In fact, there are some federal court cases which consider people who've had their sentences suspended. So they've been convicted of crimes in Australia, but a court has formed the view that their sentence should be suspended, which means they don't even go to prison.
But they end up being detained on an island.
Correct. But they still end up being arrested and detained and removed.
And so quite apart from the obvious ethical and you know, immigration issues inherent in this, what does this mean for Australian-New Zealand relations? Is it likely to affect them to a large extent?
Well, I think, I mean, you've noted the comments of Minister Little and also mm-hmm. Prime Minister Ardern. You know, there are a number of people in the current government including Kelvin Davis. In fact, when Kelvin Davis was Shadow Minister for Corrections before the Labor government was elected in New Zealand, he was an outspoken critic of the regime and visited Australian immigration detention centres to provide support to Kiwis in detention. A number of senior government ministers in the New Zealand Labor government have expressed their concern about this practice. Certainly in the interview research that my PhD student Dave Martin has conducted, it's a strong and consistent theme of that research that the interviewees are really surprised that Australia would adopt this policy, mm-hmm. Given the closeness of our relationship as countries over many, many years. And in fact, some of them, referred to the ANZAC tradition and the fact that Australians and Kiwis have fought alongside each other mm-hmm. In many armed conflicts overseas. Some people might find the analogy a stretch and might be offended at the prospect that people with criminal records would make such comparisons and would be anxious to ensure their own human rights. But the thing about human rights, of course, is that all humans enjoy them. So mm-hmm. even people with a history of crime, people who have engaged in criminal activity, well, they deserve human rights just as much as any other human. Human rights isn't something that we cordon off and make unavailable to people who've come into contact with the criminal justice system.
Absolutely. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, Sam. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for taking an interest in this issue. It really is important that people understand what's going on.
Yes, thank you so much.
All the best.